We're so thankful for all the kind words and everything that's been done and said, and to be with our friends once again. I was trying to think, we were talking about today, how long were you in Connersville? How many? 20 years in Connersville. You know, that speaks well for a person when they are dedicated to the Lord's work. 20 there, 16 years, and he's only 35. That's the way he acts anyway. Of course, his wife makes him that way. That's what it's all about. Well, we're just delighted to be here today. And I was thinking, a couple things happened today that reminded me of D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey. Ira Sankey was with Moody in England, and they went out to a gypsy encampment. There was a tribe of gypsies there. And they preached, and Sankey sang, and when they got ready to leave in a carriage, a little kid came up to them, and this little kid was really intrigued by Moody and Sankey, and Sankey put his hand on this little curly-haired kid's head and said, "Son," he said, "you know, if you get saved, God may make a preacher out of you." 50 years later, Sankey had a man come up to him and say, "Do you remember putting your hand on a little curly-haired kid's head when you were in England and talked to a bunch of gypsies over there?" He said, "Oh, yeah," sang for him. "Yes, I remember that." He said, "That was me, Gypsy Smith." I heard Gypsy Smith sing, preach. You know, we had a wise pastor there in this church where Gypsy Smith was. The place was packed to capacity. And the pastor said, "Now, I want you, all of you children, to come up and sit on the platform. Sit in the aisle. Sit all around. So we make room for other people." I'm glad he didn't herd us off to some other part of the building and let us play Ring Around the Rosy games or something like that. And so I sat just about where I was sitting a while ago, on the platform, that far, that close to the great evangelist, Gypsy Smith. You know, thank God for childhood experiences. They make an indelible impression upon you. So that's the way it is. By the way, while I'm just visiting with you a little bit, watch what you say in front of your children. You know what I mean? Little boy jumped up in Grandpa's lap, and he said, Grandpa, would you croak for me? Grandpa said, "What?" He said, "Croak, Grandpa, just croak." So Grandpa made a noise like a frog, and the kid jumped out and bounced around all over the floor. And he's clapping his hands, and, "Oh," he said, "this is the greatest day of my life. Thank you, Grandpa. You're the greatest grandpa in the world. Oh, yeah, I'll never forget this day. Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you, thank you." And Grandpa, when the kids settled down, he said, "Son, why are you so excited?" He said, "I overheard Mom and Daddy say the other day, when Grandpa croaks, we're going to Disney World." So you better watch what you say in front of your kids. And if you're in your 50s, you ought to watch how you talk to your wife. Anybody in their 50s here tonight? I think so. As I look over the gray, yeah, there's one person over there sitting pretty close to his wife at this point. So in Florida, this husband and wife, 50 years of age, walking the beach, kicked the bottle and a genie popped out. And the genie said, "Any wish you want, it can be yours." She said, "I want to go on a cruise." 6 tickets in her hand. Said to the husband, 50-year-old husband, "What do you want?" He said, "I'd sure like to be married to a woman 30 years younger than me." He was 80. So you better watch what you say. Now see, it's not all sad when you come to church. I mean, we just have a good time, a good wholesome time. And a clean time. I picked this up the other day, and I thought it's worth sharing. I like the old paths. where moms were at home and dads were at work. Brothers went into the army and sisters got married before having children. Crime did not pay, hard work did. And people knew the difference. Moms would cook, dads would work, children would behave. Husbands would discipline, wives were supportive, and children were polite. Women wore the jewelry and men wore the pants. That always gets a chuckle. Women looked like ladies, men looked like gentlemen, and children looked decent. People loved the truth and hated the lie. They came to church to get in, not to get out. Hymns sounded godly, sermons helpful, rejoicing sounded normal, and crying sounded sincere. Cursing was wicked, drinking was evil, and divorce was unthinkable. The flag was honored, America was beautiful, and God was welcome. We read the Bible in public, prayed in school, and preached from house to house. To be called an American was worth dying for. To be called a Christian was worth living for. To be called a traitor was a shame. Sex was a personal word. I remember at the age of 16, I talked to one of my best friends and I asked him what that word meant. You ask a 5 or 6 year old now, they'll tell you. Let's see, where was I? Abortion was an illegal word. Preachers preached because they had a message. Christians rejoiced because they had the victory. Preachers preached from the Bible. Singers sang from the heart. And sinners turned to the Lord to be saved. A new birth meant a new life. Salvation meant a changed life. Following Christ led to eternal life. Being a preacher meant you proclaimed the word of God. Being a deacon meant that you would serve the Lord, and being a Christian meant that you would live for Jesus. Being a sinner meant someone was praying for you. Laws were based on the Bible, homes read the Bible, and churches taught the Bible. Preachers were interested more in new converts. New converts than clothes and new cars. God was worshipped. Christ was exalted. The Holy Spirit was respected. Church was where you found Christians on the Lord's Day rather than in the garden or on the creek bank or golf course or being entertained somewhere else. Now, while I'm on a roll here, I'm going to give you one more thing. America the Beautiful, or so it used to be, land of pilgrim prides, I'm glad they will never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. We've kept God in our temples, how calloused we have grown. When earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the Beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. You know who wrote that? Judge Roy Moore, who's been reelected to the Supreme Court in the state of Alabama. I'd say he hit a home run with that one. It's good to meet fearless politicians. It's good to meet fearless Christians. That's right. Tonight, I want to bring a message on what might be the most neglected subject in the Bible. You say, well, Bobby, we need more preaching on judgment. And we do, because it's in the Bible. Say we need more preaching on salvation and on the Christian life, on dedication, dying to self. You're right. We need more preaching on those things. But I think what could be the most neglected subject in the Bible is my choice for tonight's message. The reason I say I believe it's neglected, in my lifetime I've heard two messages on this subject. I heard Dolphus Price preach an entire message on this subject. Old preachers refer to it quite often. But I'm talking about an entire message from beginning to end. My father-in-law, Homer Britton, preached an entire message. And so I've heard two men preach an entire message on this subject that I have selected for tonight. And so I want you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Humanists deny it. They say it's harmful. Liberals laugh at it. Modernists will not accept it. The communists scoff at it. The sinners void of it. The devil hates it. But Jesus Christ saves by it. And I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2. Beginning with verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The most neglected subject, I think, in the Bible has got to be the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not the most, it's close to it. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be only hell and not heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ died for each one of us here. We must do His will. We must live in His will daily. I'm thinking of a story that Charles Haddon Spurgeon experienced. He was concerned about a man that was an atheist that lived down the street from him and down the road from him. And he was reading from the scripture one morning, and the Lord directed him to the book of Joel. And he read in Joel, and he came to Joel 3:3, and he saw where a boy was exchanged for a harlot, and a harlot for a bottle of wine, and a girl for a bottle of wine. And he thought, girl, I've never read the word girl in the Bible. And he looked up in the concordance, and that's the only time it was there, in Joel 3:3. He said, well, that's unusual. And then he said, well, I'm going to go for my morning walk. And he walked down the street, and the Lord impressed him to go see this atheist. And the atheist had no good words for Spurgeon at all. He went up and knocked on the door, and the atheist came to the door in a rough voice, says, what do you want? He said, well, I'd like to talk to you. Now hold on to your seat. The atheist said, if you could tell me where the word girl is in the Bible, I'll let you come in. And Spurgeon said he went in 30 minutes. That atheist put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now that's all available through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way anyone can be saved. Thank God for our songbooks. I would not want any songbook if it didn't have "Are You Washed in the Blood?" My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. There is a fountain filled with blood. There's power in the blood. The blood, the book, and the blessed hope. Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness can save our soul. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me, I sacrifice them to His blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We're saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now there's a vast gulf between the Lord and the creature. How can we get to the Lord? How can we get in the presence of God? Only one way. There's one way, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no way anyone can ever go to heaven. You see, man is conceived in sin. The psalmist said, "Behold, I was shapen in sin and iniquity. Did my mother conceive me?" Ecclesiastes 7:20. "There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned. But God is holy." Now, how can man, human man, come in contact with a holy God? Only one way. One way. Through the precious blood of Jesus. That's it. You can't get to heaven any other way. You can die for a religion. You can commit suicide for a religion. We were on an airplane going to Spain, and Brother Don, years ago, and we got to talking to a man that was born in Spain, but he worked for the Dole Food Company down in Miami, Florida. My wife was talking to him. I'm sitting on the aisle. He's on the window, and she's between us, and she started talking to him. She's always good to open up the conversation, and started talking about the Lord and so forth, and I got into it finally. Fernando, I believe I remember his name right. I always have to check with her to make sure I got it right. And after we talked a little while, I said this. I said, "Fernando, if you have God here and Jesus here and the church here and baptism here, that's a head knowledge of things that are right and the head knowledge of God and Jesus. But if you have the Lord here, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with all your heart, all your being." I said, "That's redemption." Now watch close, Fernando. You have religion, you die, you go there. But if you have redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for you, you go there. We talked for another hour, and he said, I believe I know what you're talking about. He said, "If I have Jesus here, I go there. But if I don't, I go there." He wouldn't trust the Lord, but we asked if he'd like to have a Bible, and he said he would. I said, "Well, you want it in Spanish or you want it in English?" He said, "Both." So we got him one with the Spanish on one side of the page and English on the other. You can get those. Send it to him. My wife called about 6 months later. She found his address and asked him. Said, "Did you get the Bible?" Said, "Yes. What are you doing?" Said, "My wife and I are both reading the Bible." Now, that's the difference, folks. It's either here or here. If you have it here, you can be a member of this church. You can get baptized right here. You have all that up here, you're going to go there. It's just that simple. But if you put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's the only true covering for sin and total forgiveness so that you can be a candidate for glory and heaven forever. That's the only way. There's none other way but this. This is the way of the Lord that takes us to heaven. God is holy. Man's conceived in sin. So,
How can we have communion? No way. Without the shedding of blood. That's God's plan. Now, I want you to notice some facts about the blood. The Bible says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." The blood has been shed. Don't question it. Don't analyze it. Accept it by faith, by faith, by faith. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. And it's important because the Bible says, Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." So the blood has been shed. And then the blood is sufficient. You don't have to add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. But the blood is sufficient. John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now he didn't say, "Behold the church." He didn't say, "Behold the priest or the preacher." He didn't say, "Behold sprinkling or baptism." He didn't say, "Behold good works." He didn't say anything through eating right or living right. He didn't say any of that. It's simple. Don't make it difficult. It's by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the church, not the wine, not the wafer, not the pastor, not the priest. It's not baptism. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Add nothing to it. Take nothing away. Jesus Christ shed his blood. Now, a lot of religionists shed their blood, but they're in the ground. They're in the grave. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. So the Bible teaches us that the blood has been shed, and the blood is sufficient. The blood is sufficient. You remember in the Old Testament how the Passover came and the Lord gave instruction for the blood to be put across the door. Actually, it was in the form of a cross. The blood was placed here and on both sides, and it was in the form. And this is beautiful. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the same day, years in the future, when the Passover took place, showing you and me, without the shedding of blood, there is no substitute. Not whatsoever. And so the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. What does it mean to be redeemed? Boy, Franny Crosby wrote a beautiful song, over 8,000. "But redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, happy in Jesus, forever I am." Redeemed, redeemed. Being redeemed means so much. It means that you've been bought back. One of the best illustrations I've ever seen, and I saw a little tract the other day that was similar to the original one. Maybe you've seen it. It's called Bobby's Bought Back Boat. Anybody ever seen that track? Have you seen that track around? It's got some pictures. It's for little kids, and so every adult ought to get it so you can understand what it really says. But here's a little fella by the name of Bobby. That's what the track said. And he took a piece of wood. He found the one he wanted, and he carved it, and he made a little boat out of it, and he made a mast, and he took it to his mother, and she took an old handkerchief, and she made a sail for it. And he thought, oh, he painted it, and he said, "I can hardly wait for the paint to dry because I want to try my boat." And he went down to the creek, and he very carefully placed the boat in the creek. Now, there's some modern versions of this, but I'm going to give you the original, okay? And he placed the boat down in the creek, and he wondered, would it list? Would it bottom up? What would happen? To his delight and joy, the thing floated upright. Boy, he was so, his little kid made that boat, and he was so happy for what his hands had made. And it started going down the creek, and he'd run alongside the boat, and he just thought it was good. But the further it went, the faster the water flowed. And then it got to where he got out of breath, and he couldn't keep up with it, and the boat went out of sight. And he wept. He said, "Now, little boat, I made you, and you've run away from me." 2 days later, he was walking down the street, and in a swap shop, he saw his little vessel. He went inside and explained it to the proprietor, and he said, "Son, I believe your story, but," he said, I'm a businessman." And he said, "An older boy brought that boat in here, and I bought it from him. If you want it, you're going to have to buy it from me. It's going to cost you a dollar." Well, the little boy went out and worked until he made a dollar, and he came back and he gave the man the dollar for the boat. And the big man reached into the window and pulled out that little handmade sailboat and gave it to the boy, and he held it up close to him. And he says, "Now, little boat, you're twice mine. I made you, and you ran away from me, but I found you. I bought you back. You're twice mine. You're twice mine." That's redemption. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has no substitute. There is no other way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," stated the Lord Jesus Christ. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the only one that paid the price. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He ascended up to heaven. 500 people stood there and watched him go up into heaven. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." How is all that made possible? By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." Bless your heart. "Just as I am will not work without the blood. Just as I am without one people, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. I come." You forget your good works. You're not going to get to heaven that way. The only way you can do right is by being born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the gospel. I'll leave you with another thought. The blood is the only satisfaction that you can ever have. You'll never have any satisfaction. These people of a religion that feel that by giving their life in suicide and blowing themselves up, they feel that they're going to go to their place of eternal abode, and they feel they're going to have unlimited virgins, and they feel like, can you imagine 1 second after that bomb goes off, who's going to welcome them? Can you imagine that? "I fooled you, but now I got you." That's not just for a day or two. That is for an eternity. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, "I am satisfied with Jesus. Charms of earth can never lure me from my Savior's side away. He who with his blood has bought me satisfies me day by day. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with him. Ever keeps me singing, keeps the joy bells ringing. I'm satisfied with him." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation that you received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. It's paid in full, folks. Jesus loved you. He had you in mind when He died on the cross. He had me in mind. He had all of creation, all the humans in creation in mind when He died on the cross. A few years ago, I had an assignment. I was traveling for Tennessee Temple. Our family made eight summers traveling for Temple, and then I had a quartet, and we went 5 summers. And by the way, we went to Sebring, Florida, and I said to the boys, I said, now, we're going to find the graveyard where Dr. Weigel's buried. He's buried here at Sebring. And so I called up 2 or 3 funeral homes, and they said, yes, he's out in nice Pine Ridge or Pine View, or I don't know, that's not important. So we went out, and we had a piano player, 4 in a quartet, and we were looking all over this cemetery, and finally one way down in the corner, here it is, I found it, Doc, here it is. We went down, and there it was, Charles Frederick Weigel, just very simple, writer of No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. And there it was. His birthday was there, November the 20th, 1961, 1966, December the 3rd. And, boy, I'll tell you, I just believe that heaven sounded a little bit sweeter when he got there. The Lord probably put him in charge of writing the music for the angels, I imagine. It had to have some outstanding job. And he wrote, he signed the deed with his atoning blood. I was going to this assignment to speak up in Baltimore. And when I was going down the road, I saw a big green sign, John Hopkins Road. Maybe this took place right there. This true story may have taken place in that area. But there was a time when John Hopkins was trying to escape some of the rigorous chores and responsibilities of the hospital. And he was weary, and so he just wanted to go for a little walk, and he sat down under a shade tree, as the story goes, and a little girl hopped by. And this little girl saw him, and she was very outspoken and very happy. And she said, well, sir, you look tired. Is there anything I could do for you? And he said, well, sweetheart, not really, but if you had a glass of milk, that tastes good right now. And, oh, she said, we got a cow, and he gives good milk. And she gives good milk, and get that straight. And she gives good milk and said that Obama keeps it real cold. And you wait right here. And she came back, and she had a big glass of milk, and she gave it to him. He refreshed, thanked her, and went on his way. Time passed, and the little girl became very, very sick. And they took her to the hospital of Johns Hopkins, and they thought they were going to lose her, but through proper care and medication, she got well. And her father was not a wealthy man, but he was willing to do whatever it took to pay this enormous bill. And he went down, and the nurse behind the counter seemed to be looking for him. And she slipped the bill out under the little glass, and he picked it up, and tears filled his eyes. Because across that great, enormous bill, in Dr. Johns Hopkins' own handwriting, paid in full by a glass of milk, that little girl ministered to him in a time when he needed refreshing. And through her courtesy and through her kindness, he took care and absorbed that entire bill. Now, do you get it? Are you saved? You stand before God, and our intercessor is going to say to the Father, His sins were paid for by my death and my shed blood on the cross. And if you've been born again, that's exactly the outcome of your eternity, and there's no substitutes for it, and there's only one way to be saved, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And if you're counting on something else tonight, the only place to get right is here. And you do what God wants you to do. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to hearts. Speak to hearts this evening. May this invitation be one to please Thee supremely. There are many Christians here tonight, and they have taken lightly the death, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that this will be a time of revival of the heart, a revival of the life, a revival to a literal appreciation of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the glorious bodily resurrection, and His ascension back to heaven as we prepare for His return. And we can pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray all together. Amen. Shall we stand?